So our part in the salvation experience. You know, we looked at atonement. You know, God's provision for atonement, His Son, Jesus Christ, His perfect sacrifice. And this morning, as we're looking at our part, and tomorrow morning we're looking at God's part, I find these two sessions, they're overlapping some. It's kind of hard to split that out, because in our part, it involves God's part as well. But we're going to be largely focusing on our part this morning. Do you and I have a part in our salvation experience? Do you and I have a part? Yes, we do have a part in our own salvation experience. We heard last week about choices. I'm not sure how much you've heard in your other classes about that. But we are people of choice. I meant to put this quote up here first. That provoking thought for us this morning. The early church wanted to know, what must I do to be saved? Today's church is asking, what can I do and still be saved? Does that ring a bell? It's kind of true, isn't it? I trust it's not your heart this morning. What must I do to be saved? Should be our focus. We're people of choice. Why did God create us this way? Is there any comments on that? Why did God create us with choice? What comes to your mind? Amen. Very good. Is there anything else? That's very good. You know, it's obvious. You know, God knows everything. We talked about the omniscience of God. It's just the way that God created us. He knew what was best. And as you think of us as His creation, He's the creator, we're the creation, and we as creation are responding to Him. Think of the glory and honor that brings to the Creator when the creation brings honor and glory back to the Creator versus just the default of glory and honor coming back to the Creator. It's a choice of the creation bringing glory back to the Creator. Psalms 147:5 says, "Great is our Lord and of great power. His understanding is infinite." Our choices either bring glory and blessing to God, or they bring shame and death to ourselves. And we still have a free will to decide between right and wrong. And there's more examples about how God has created us like that. For example, we talk about bringing our needs and cares and burdens to the Lord. You know, why does God ask us to do that? Kind of referred to that yesterday a little bit. But you know, God knows the depths of our hearts. He knows every detail. There's nothing that's hid from Him. He actually knows our hearts and intents better than we do. And yet He still asks us to lay that out before Him, bring it to Him, bring our cares and burdens, bring our needs to Him. Why does God want us to do that? Think about that. As we come and bring those things to God, you know, there's a brokenness, a surrender. There's a willingness on our part that has to happen before we actually bring those needs to God. And that's what God desires in His children, is a willingness, a brokenness, and a surrender. I like the altars that Mark talked about yesterday morning. That's a beautiful thought. sacrificial, those altars. We need them in our hearts. Proverbs 3, 5 to 6. Could I have a volunteer for those two verses? Sorry, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 and Psalm 34, 18. Elmer and one of the ladies for Psalm 34, 18. Thank you. Go ahead, Elmer.
Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him and he shall direct thy paths.
Thank you. And Psalm 34, 18. Thank you. Trust in God with all thine heart. And then a confirmation that God will be nigh. The Lord will be nigh unto those that are broken heart. And he will save such as be of a contrite spirit. So as we think of salvation, as it relates to me, what is my part? And I have 11 points here I like to go through. And I'm a little concerned that we're running out of time here, but I do plan to share my testimony, which isn't going to be long, which will probably go into our study period, just so you have a heads up that we won't be running out immediately when the bell rings. We'll see how this goes. Okay, what is my part in salvation as it relates to me? Number one, and there is probably more points, but these are some points I just collected and I want to share. And some of them I want to broaden out on, some will just be noted. But number one, recognizing my sin and acknowledging in my heart that I have sinned. And two verses there again, one from the brethren, 2 Corinthians 7, 9. Is there a volunteer for that? Donovan, thank you. And John 3, 21 from the sisters, thank you back there. Sorry, I don't know your names. You take your name tags off halfway through. That's just what I'm starting to learn now for sure. That's okay. 2 Corinthians 7, 9, Donovan. Thank you. It's talking about sorrow there. Sorrowing for our sins. That you sorrowed to repentance. There's recognition there. There's acknowledgement. John 3:21. Thank you. Making his needs known to God. Number two, believing God and his promises. Four scriptures there. Two volunteers from the brethren. Yes, thank you. And Lucas. Lucas, right? John 3:16 and John 5:24. John 3:16, Lucas and Joe. Yeah. And John 6:47 and Romans 10:9. Thank you. And second one, and one more from the ladies, Hebrews 11:6. Thank you, the far back. Thank you, Hebrews 11:6. Believing God and his promises. This morning, we need to believe. And this is probably the largest one that I should have started, probably. Believing God and his promises, faith in believing. That's a message in its own. But let's have those verses. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. And John 5:24. Thank you. John 6:47. Verily, verily, I say unto you, Thank you. Romans 10:9. And Hebrews 11:6. Thank you for that. Believing God and His promises. Believing by faith. And I'd like us to take note of Hebrews 11:6 primarily. I don't have a screen of that. But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must what? Does anybody remember that? Must what? Right. Thank you. Believe that He is. Take note of that. Believe in God for who He is. We talked about the proper view of God. And as you, sometimes we don't always connect the dots to that, that believing in God for who He is and what He does for us is extremely foundational. And it actually is one of the most important foundations of our understanding in our lives. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. What is faith? I'm not sure if you can read that or not. It is a confident assurance that something we want is going to happen. It is a certainty that what we hope for is waiting for us, even though we cannot see it up ahead. That is faith. Confidence, confident assurance. Number three. What's another thing of our part is repentance. Repentance. I have 4 points here to describe repentance. Repentance is the change of heart, mind, and action that takes place as we in faith turn to God for help. A complete turnaround. That is repentance. Repentance is a 180-degree turn. We were walking this way, we turn around, we're going the other way. Repentance, a change. Repentance is a change of mind that understands sin and self as God sees it. Does that make sense? Before we repented, believed, it's pretty easy to have our own version of how sin and self looks, right? It's pretty easy to justify ourselves to make it, you know, look okay. But repentance is a change of mind that understands sin and self how God sees it. It's actually bringing us back to reality. Third point. Repentance brings new desires, new interests, new motivations, and goals. Repentance always means a thorough change from life of sin to a life of submission to God. Luke 13:5 says, "But except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And Acts 3:19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." Repent ye. The question comes, what brings us to repentance? What brings us to repentance? I trust we will look at that tomorrow in our session. But in summary, it is God's goodness. It's God's mercy. It's God, the Holy Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit that brings conviction of sin. That brings us to repentance. I also want to share, I will insert this here. You know, through this salvation discussion, sessions, whatever, you know, yes, we are trying to establish and strengthen the foundations of our own lives. We want God to do that for us. And I realize that each one of us, myself included, it puts our own salvation experience in the light of God's Word. And that's what it's supposed to do. But I want to encourage you, be careful that you don't despair. Why did I say that? Well, we have different personalities. We have some more of the hardcore. We have some that are very sensitive. And Lord willing, I want to encourage us in our recap on Friday with a bit of that, with assurance of salvation, etc. I don't want to uproot you where you're at unless it's sin, unless you're not where you're supposed to be. So we are walking the line that God wants us to walk in bringing this session. And yet I want to, I don't want to uproot, if you're in a good place, I don't want to uproot you if you're sensitive in heart. But I do want to strengthen your foundations and point you back to the Word of God, point you back to God. So as we go through these things, I want to encourage you in it. Number four, there'll be more on that later in a different session. Number four, confession. Confession is a result of repentance. We confess, we acknowledge our sin and our faults to God. Proverbs 28:13. Let's all say that verse together. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Amen. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Number 5 and 6, just grouping these together a little. Claim the promises of God. Now I know is very generally speaking, but you know, the scriptures are full of promises. You know, as you read through the Psalms, as you read through scriptures, you sense the heart of God, you see the promises that he promises to his children. This morning I want you to encourage you in that you read them. Not just read them, take them to heart and claim them. They are for you. They are for the child of God. Isaiah 55:6-7 says, seek ye the Lord, while he may be found, call ye upon him while he is near. And James 4:8, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Those are promises. Just a few. Those are promises of coming to God and what he will do for us as we reach out to him. But the book, the Word of God, is full of promises for you and I, for every season of our lives. Take heart and take courage in that. Number 6, fill your heart with the things of God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 to 45. Here's a warning for us. I should have brought a glass up here this morning with water, with dirty water. If you picture a glass with dirty water, think of that as your heart, full of sin, full of contamination. You know, we see it, we acknowledge it, we know God can do something about it, we repent of it, and then we confess it, bringing it to God. We dump it out. We empty ourselves, and then God does the work of converting and cleansing and cleaning our hearts. But what is, after that cup is empty, the contents are dumped out, what's in the cup? Anyone? Nothing. Right, Keith. Thank you. There's nothing in that cup. Yes, the presence of God is there, but the cup is empty. And I'm not sure this is a good picture or not, but it's true. when the heart is cleansed of sin, the heart is empty in a sense of, it's not full. You know, before it was full of evil, which, that was terrible. Now it's empty. Now it's cleansed, pure, and clean. Now our hearts need to be filled with the things of God. It's very important. Especially after the cleansing of sin takes place. Let's read Matthew chapter 12, 43 to 45. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest, and findeth none. Then he saith, I will return into my house from whence I came out. And when he's come, he findeth it empty, swept, and garnished. That seems good. To that point. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation. That's awful. This cleansed, empty, clean heart that was cleaned out is now full of seven more spirits worse than before. And young people this morning, I want to tell you that is very real. And that happens. I have a very close home in my own experience, my own brother. You know, the evil one is looking for empty hearts. It's very crucial. We find yourself in a place of, we talked about labeling our sins, okay? But we find ourselves in a defeated state. We come to God, we confess, we claim the power of the blood. Our hearts are cleansed and washed free. The next steps are very crucial and important. The evil one is looking for empty hearts. Hearts that have a vacuum. You know, when you, not sure what a good example is, but you suck in a bottle and you keep sucking the air out and the bottle kind of keeps crushing down. As soon as you let go of it, it expands. There's a vacuum there. We need to fill our hearts with the things of God. We need to. Whether it's Bible reading, prayer, meditation, reading, the Word of God especially, we need to fill our hearts full of the things of God. And this is from that instant forward in a very aggressive way. Did you know that when our hearts and minds are full of the things of God, there will be very little room for anything else? And yes, we will still be tempted. We will still be tempted to sin. We're in the human flesh. Temptations will still come, but they won't overwhelm us like they did before. And I think if we're honest in our hearts, you know, the level of temptations that we face is in direct proportion to our connecting with God, for how full our hearts are of God. I think of different individuals that have walked that journey and have found themselves at a place of sin and defeat. And through tears of repentance have come in brokenness, falling down before God, claiming the power of the blood, cleansing their hearts. And God cleansed their hearts and cleaned them up. But they never did the next step. The situation I'm thinking of, it turned out very bad in a very short period of time. I think of another brother from our church. He's married, faithful brother. Struggled with some things, got caught in some things, but came to a point of confessing, came to the brethren and just confessed, dumped his heart out, and God cleansed his heart 100%. And you know, he told me, still talks about it, he went home and for the next couple days, all he could do is just read the Bible. He just read and read and read and prayed and read. He just felt so hungry. And he testifies that that is what helped him to get his feet under him to move forward. If you find yourself in a place like this, fill your heart with the things of God. And talk about sanctification going forward. Continue to fill your heart with the things of God. And don't forget, if our hearts are running over with the things of God, there won't be much room for the things of the evil one. Three more parts here. Put on the armor of God. Get battle ready. We know that verse, Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Get battle ready. Number 8, restitution is another piece of that's our part. As God has done a work in our hearts, cleansed us, as we've come to God, there is times that restitution may be necessary, and that is on us. That is on our part. What is restitution? It's going back to our friends, to our fellow men, those that we come in contact with, those that we have hurt or offended or taken advantage of. We need to make things right. Number 9, God wants a relationship, a connection. God wants a relationship. Not just head knowledge. This morning, if you would relate to your closest friend like you relate to God, would your close friend be happy with that? If you would relate to your closest friend as you relate to God, would your close friend be okay with that? Would it make you too feel like you're just intimate friends? Or what would your friend think about your relationship? Second Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And he goes on to say that I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Going on to number 10. Staying aligned with God. Stay aligned with God. This morning, who am I aligning my life with? I'd like to spend a little bit of time on this. This is God. Can you ladies see? All of you can see? Sort of. This is God. This is evil over here. Not sure quite how to draw his picture, but I won't make it in a star, but it's an ugly star. He sometimes comes as angel of light. And it's too big. Sorry, this is very unproportional. This is me, or you. God is full of everything that God is, full of love, care. All the promises of God are in this heart here. These things are pouring out of God. I'm not sure how to show pouring out, but I would just make lines down, just pouring out. Just tremendous blessing, just pouring down from God himself. And you have to really imagine it, because this is so far out. This is evil, Satan, the evil one. We know that he is sending things out as well to get us to distract us. I'll do it more like that. Etc. And there's more than that. But that's very pointed. These are two, but hopefully you get the picture. Draw this a bit lower here. This is my heart. In my life, I am aligning with one or the other. I'm not sure if you all know what a funnel is. I'm assuming that's a U.S. term as well. Sorry, that's, get the picture. It's a funnel that collects things, and so the blessings of God are filling up this funnel, pouring into my heart, filling my heart. Okay? That is when we're aligned with God. Sorry, that's really crude, but get the picture. The funnel is collecting the blessings and the promises of God. They're pouring into my heart. Filling my heart. And we haven't talked about this yet, but as the blessings, the promises, everything that God is, as it flows into our heart, it bears fruit, okay? And that's our heart's desire, and we'll talk about that later here in another session. But it's our heart's desire to be aligned with God. And can this funnel move? What determines where this funnel is? Anyone? Does it move? Can it move?
It'll move to wherever we have our focus in life.
Very good. Thank you, Jared. That funnel can shift. As long as it's aligned with God, that's tremendous. That all the blessings of God are being collected in the funnel, they're pouring into our hearts, and our lives are exploding in abundance of fruits of God. What happens if the funnel shifts? It's still catching some of these promises, but now it's in aligning with some of these arrows. It's kind of a large subject. One of the greatest tools that the evil one uses to get me to move my funnel, to pull my funnel away from God, my alignment with from God, pulling it away, is fear. And how many of us don't deal with fear? I think probably every one of us, we all know what that's like. And yet, it's one of the greatest tools the evil one uses. It could seem like a small tool, fear, you know. Of course we fear. But fear is crippling. Fear is paralyzing. Fear brings oppression. And you know, as fear comes into our lives, and there's more examples, it's not just fear. There's many, many different things that can affect us. But as fear comes into our lives, you know, we start believing some of the lies that are coming our direction. And what are we saying about the promises on this side? We're actually saying that they're not true. We're doubting them. Doubting God. And as we continue on that direction, the funnel can shift even further. And that's scary. Because of my unbelief, my alignment to God has shifted. As my alignment shifts, I actually start collecting from the wrong source. In my alignment, as it shifts to the wrong side, I'm actually doubting God, like I said. We're actually telling God that we don't completely trust every promise He has in the Bible for us. We aren't any more willing to 100% believe who He is and what He can do for us. And we're also telling God that some of His promises don't apply to me anymore. We never say that. But yet, that is what our life is indicating to God. Think of Him as a close friend, understanding how you're relating to Him. What does He think? How does He feel about the relationship? Does He understand who we're aligned with? I know it's hard for us to always understand ourselves. We can very, very quickly shift in the smallest ways away, and that's what repentance and confession is for, to renew, to realign that funnel. We know as that funnel is aligning with the wrong source, we know that we try to prove this difference so many times, but we know that as we are collecting that input from the wrong side, we know that there's only one direction we're going to go. And we've all been there. Should it surprise me this morning? Should it surprise you that we start heading down a slippery slope that we can't, that we're not going to stop? A slope of discouragement, slope of overwhelming temptations. And then we end up serving ourselves and our flesh. You know, we've all been there. Let's keep aligned with our Heavenly Father, and the blessings will flow into our hearts and lives and bear fruit. How do we stay aligned with God? That's another large subject, but two questions I'd like us to consider. What table are we eating at? What table are we eating at? Consider what you're eating. Consider what table you're sitting at in life. What are we feeding on? And a reminder with that, what I feed grows. And that is very broad. That can go from, we heard about offenses yesterday. If we're feeding on offenses, where does that go? If we're feeding on temptations, on sin, on the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, where's that going to go? What we feed grows. Number 11, being a willing servant, a willing vessel to be used for God's glory. And I want to close with that, this part, that God needs you. God needs you and I to be used here in this world for His use and for His honor and for His glory. So Lord bless you in that. I trust that your hearts can be encouraged and strengthened as you think about these things. Now I had given you a little homework assignment. Excuse me. About writing out your own personal testimony. I trust that's not too offensive for you. Shouldn't be. I hope it's not too hard. But just be genuine, be honest, share your heart on paper. So I'm looking to have those returned tomorrow in study period. But I had said I'd like to share my testimony, my own personal testimony is nothing dramatic, but it's real. It's very real to me. It's part of my life. It's part of my journey. It's not all perfect at all. I do count myself tremendously blessed. But the Lord knows what I could handle. He knows what I need. And He knows my heart. He knows my journey. Each one of you have been on a journey and continue to be on a journey. I want to encourage you in that. Don't despair. But allow God to keep working with you. So my journey coming to the Lord was rather long. I'm not trying to relay my journey. I'm not trying to highlight, okay? I want to lay it out there for you to understand where I've been, just my journey. And some of it's personal, very personal. But I want to be honest and open with you because I'm expecting that of you too. So I do want to share my heart. So my journey was long before I came to the Lord. It was filled with heaviness. It was filled with guilt. There was wrong thinking patterns. Very wrong. And there was some very unhealthy habits. There's also some immoral self-abuse. But probably from the age of 13 to 16, you know, I struggled in the dark valley of heaviness and guilt. And I'm sure a lot of you can identify with that. But the valley was brutal, very ugly. I was a fairly sensitive person. Hope I still am. I was then. And, you know, it does create extra challenges. But I bless God for his work in my life. But, you know, I struggled in this dark valley of heaviness and guilt for those years, I guess. Some of those immoral bondages, you know, really had a hard grip on my life. And it was really very hard on me as an individual. I seemed powerless. I was powerless. It felt like the door was locked. Couldn't get to God. Just felt like I couldn't get through. I grew up in a very good home. A good mother, a good dad. And I bless God for that. There was 5 boys in our family. I'm the oldest. And we got along very normally, quite well. Actually, we had a lot of good family times. I'm going to jump through this fairly quickly. But you know, the relationships, you know, was very close to me. I was glad for it. I had a good relationship with my mother. My dad, not as close as I wanted it to be as a son. And, you know, that can be typical. But I know Dad grew up in a fairly good home as well, but he never experienced that closeness with his father either. And, you know, I struggled and grappled with that. And I know the evil one took me for a round with that and was hard on me with that. You know, I desired a closer connection. But yet it was very hard for us both to connect at that level. It seemed in that era of life that my life was kind of spinning out of control. And I couldn't reach out and grab onto anything, it seemed. I couldn't grab a hold of the Lord. But yet, I knew totally what I needed to do. I was 15, and we had the request come for baptism, for instruction class, in our church one Sunday morning. And shortly after, I knew that 3 of my peers joined the instruction class. And being sensitive, it took me for a pretty deep dive, a pretty deep spin. Not sure why, but it did. It was hard on me, very hard on me, because I knew where I was at. There's no question. So I found that very hard. As my close friend went through instruction class and became part of the church, I was 16, joined the youth group, still not a Christian, hardly felt like I should have been there. I felt guilty. I didn't feel like I belonged. But our youth group was a tremendous blessing and encouragement to me. Tremendous. Very, very good influence. But you know, through that experience, the pressure within me was getting greater and greater and greater, which, praise the Lord. But it was almost unbearable. I'm not sure, like, you probably can identify a little bit with that, but it's like, why didn't I just give up? You know, why try to keep this tight balloon together without letting it explode? But no, that was me. The pressure just kept on getting bigger and bigger. The announcement came again. We have some more requests for instruction class. Derek couldn't handle that. I'm not sure why, but that was, and sad to say, or praise the Lord. That was a tipping point for me. I wish I could have come to that place before. But took the request from some of my peers again to join instruction class to get Derek to crumble and break and fall before God. That's what it took. That day was an extremely hard day. Like you can imagine, the battle was very severe. But that night I broke. That night I crumbled. That night I humbled myself. And I fell to my knees and claimed Jesus as the Lord of my life. Pleaded the blood of Christ to come into my heart and cleanse me free. And I felt like a new man immediately. And I praise God for that. There's a few things that, in that experience, that I probably regret a little bit. I do regret. I didn't include my parents in that experience. I'm not saying that was wrong, but you know, looking back, I regret that I didn't include my parents. My mother understood that I was struggling. She knocked on the door. It had been 10 o'clock at night when I should have been in bed. Hoping it was whatever. And she wondered if I'm okay. Or if I would like, if they would come talk to me and pray with me. I told her that I had just repented and became a Christian. I feel okay. And that was good. But you know, my parents desired to be part of that experience to help me and guide me. And in that time, I wasn't against them, but I just didn't invite them. And I do regret that in my life. But I can't change that piece of history in my life. And we do have a good relationship. It's continued on for life, and I bless them for who they are and for what they are to me. It's a tremendous support and blessing. So it just gives you a little window of some of my regrets of the journey outside of waiting way too long. But there's a few other things that were tremendously influential in my life going forward. And I want to bless God for these little things in my life. And I trust that God is putting little tidbits into your life as well as encouragements and things that spur you on. I had a very good youth life, tremendously good. Very good examples to look up to. Even though some of my good, solid peers, I thought, did go down some trails that I never, ever expected, some very wrong paths. But they were very influential at my time of life then, at that point, in encouragement. I had an older single fellow, 15 years older than I was. He invited me to go along on a trip with him and some other older youth to visit my aunt in British Columbia. And that key part in my life was a tremendous orchestrated thing of God. My friend and I, we shared a bed together that whole trip. And we chatted a lot. And he very kindly asked me many times, you know, how my Christian life was going, digging into my life, sharing his own struggles. And, you know, with that type of relationship, with that type of interest in my life, I had no trouble just to dump everything out to him. And that was like the first time in my life that I could really just dump everything out. And, you know, he shared his own struggles and shared his own heart. We ended up being very close and accountable. And I bless God that many years down the road, we're talking 30 years, we're still close, and we're still accountable to each other occasionally. And we still connect with our personal struggles. But that individual, I want to encourage you, brethren and sisters, this morning. That brother, as an older youth, he reached out. He's seen the need. He reached out. He connected. He shared his heart. I could connect with him. And that relationship goes on way down the road. And that brother has many, many close friends. And he's a very a dear brother. I want to encourage you in that. The need of accountability. The need of sharing with each other. And that experience taught me a lot about being open and honest, being transparent, being accountable, and the blessing of it. It's not a nothing to fear. It's a tremendous blessing. And that helped me to connect with my own peers in the youth group. Another one of my close friends that had been baptized the year before. We ended up being very close. And back in that era, there was no cell phones that we carried around in our pockets. So we were very accountable to each other. Every time we met, we'd ask the question, how are things going? Every time. And it was just a general, we just knew. It wasn't hard to be accountable on that level. Didn't really say. Sometimes we struggled or finding ourselves in defeat. We indicated that we got to talk sometime. But that little tidbit of connecting, when we seen each other, it did tremendous to my heart. It brought accountability like I never had. Another major stepping stone in my life was going to Bible school. And I bless God for that. I went to CBS when I was 18, then came to Area Bible School when I was 19. It's tremendous. I look back, and God was establishing foundations in my life through that time. Those terms were tremendously influential in my life. But through life, God has allowed, even that era of life that I was in there, God allowed enough hard things that were pretty difficult to handle. And I needed help, but they were tremendously good for me to curb my life and to guide me and to refine me. So I bless God for that. And I rejoice that God is still refining my life this week. He hasn't put me on the shelf. So as you think of my little journey of life, you probably have different thoughts. Maybe some of you are like wondering and questioning about my experience. And that's okay. My experience was nothing dramatic. Yes, it was within my being, but not, you know, the other more dramatic experiences that people face. But maybe some of you are saying that my life was just too easy. If only my life would have been as easy as yours, that would just be a breeze. Well, I couldn't change it either. And maybe there's some of you that are thinking that, you know, my own experience has been a lot more gradual, I just can hardly even pinpoint the time when I became a Christian. And that can be a struggle as well. But this morning, what I want to encourage you with, what matters this morning as you sit in these pews right now, what matters is that your heart is clean and clear and free. That's what matters. To be able to go back and to say that the hour that you were converted is not that important. But there should have been a time in your life when you can see that, yes, I was going this direction, but I turned around. And you know that you have repented of your sinfulness. You've pleaded for the blood of Christ and to cleanse your heart 100%. I don't want to uproot any of your experiences, but be encouraged that God is at work in your life and allow Him to do that. Allow God to continue to feed you, guide you, and help you to grow. So God bless you. We will dismiss with that.